May the Lord give you his peace. Good afternoon and welcome to this daily message of hope. This is Father Stosh Daly, not connected to the daily message of hope, joined with Sister Mary Jacinta from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Now on this Wednesday, this day that's right smack dab in the middle of the week as we're coming to the end of the day, we turn to good Saint Joseph. Ite ad Yosef, go to Saint Joseph. Sister Mary Jacinta from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Thank you for joining me on this day dedicated to Saint Joseph. What is special to you? What comes to your mind? What comes to your heart about good Saint Joseph?
I love Saint Joseph very much. And I think when you ask the first thing that comes to mind for me, it is his rich interior life.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm a devotee of Father Benedict Rochelle of the CFRs, and this is totally his thing that he would say something like this. He would say, you know, I admire Joseph a lot. He would wake up every morning and have breakfast with the Immaculate Conception and the Incarnation. You know, you got to give him some credit. So taking that light point and taking it seriously that he lived with the Incarnation and the Immaculate Conception, and for God to ask a man, he was just a man to do that.
Just a man.
Yeah.
I'll take no offense. I was going to say,
you're a priest. That's a whole other topic. You're just a man, but Jesus asked you to be Jesus. So anyway, I just love the thought of him, for example. I love to just sit with him and think about him holding the child Jesus and warming his feet in the cold of winter. Little things like that. Like, what was going on in his mind and heart when he watched the child Jesus napping, or when he taught him how to do woodwork, or when he was walking next to Our Lady? It's just a beautiful image to me, and just to think that he must have had such a rich interior life. And we don't have any witness to it in scripture, because he's the silent Joseph, as they say. And I think that is indicative of the richness right then and there with that statement, that he just had so much that we can't even put it to words. We can just sit with him and ponder with him.
That one of the things that strikes me about Saint Joseph is it's not found in scripture, but the heart-to-heart conversation that Our Lady and Saint Joseph would have had to have had when Our Lady had to let him know she was with child. Mm-hmm. And she has to let Saint Joseph know, you know, I'm with child, and the Archangel Gabriel told me that I'm with child and conceived this child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for us to kind of wrap our minds around, well, how did he respond? What did he say? What did he do? Well, we know what he did. He stayed. He remained present. Mm-hmm. But to know that he was pure and just, you know, he was righteous and chaste, I mean, Joseph had to have had the integrity to hear in the words of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, that this is truth and that the child she's carrying is God, which means Joseph would have had the heart to acknowledge the baby within the womb of the woman that he is betrothed to is God in the flesh, as you highlighted earlier, the Incarnation. Mm-hmm. And to know that Joseph would have realized the God in the flesh that my ancestors wanted to see with my eyes, with their eyes, I'm going to see. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to hold. I'm going to raise. You know, okay, without a doubt, there must have been some excitement there. I'm going to imagine there was also probably at least a little bit of trepidation, nervousness. You know? And then to realize, oh, you have to get on a donkey and we have to walk to Bethlehem now. You know? But to think, it's like, I mean, think of the excitement within Joseph when it's like, okay, my wife's child is God in the flesh, and he's going to be born in the ancestral city of my ancestors, Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Bethlehem, which of course in Hebrew means the place or the house of bread. In Arabic, it means the place or the house of flesh or of meat. So, I mean, it's the ancestral home. It's that place where his family would have gone for special family occasions, for reunions. But then to know that he's there, and then his adopted son, God in the flesh, the king of the world, king of creation, is born there. But to think of the humility of Joseph when he realizes, okay, he's born in my hometown, but we're in a cave. Mm-hmm. This is the best I get to offer. Mm-hmm. The incredible humility he would have had to have had. And I think, you know, we call him protector of the church, patron saint of the universal church. You know, what does that kind of call to mind within your mind and heart, Sister Mary Jacinta, when you think of St. Joseph as the patron, the protector of the church?
I love the thought of what Joseph did when Jesus came to heaven after the ascension. And that's something that we can ponder. And I just love the thought of what God wanted to entrust to him after what he did as the foster father of our Lord and the head of the Holy Family. So now being the protector of the church. And I like to think of it in two ways. One, as the universal church, and that would be more like what I was just referring to, but then also just the church more locally, like where I am. So he's the protector of me and where I am at church. So I'm at St. Michael's, and St. Michael is the patron saint of this church, but Joseph protects this church in a particular way because he is a protector of the church. And that's a consolation to me to know that he's that intimately connected to my life as a Catholic.
And to every single person who's listening to this message, to know that St. Joseph is their protector. Mm-hmm. And I think those are powerful words in an age in the life of the world where so many people are led to think or attempted to think that they're forgotten or that they're unknown or that they're just a number. Mm-hmm. To realize, you know, first of all, you're not. God called you into being for himself. And as if that weren't enough, he gave you a mother, Our Lady. And as if that weren't enough, then we have good St. Joseph, who is your protector, your guardian, your guide. You know, Wednesday, the middle day of the week, is always set aside for venerating St. Joseph. And it falls between the Lord's Day, Sunday, the day of the resurrection, and of course, Saturday, the day of Our Lady. But to think of St. Joseph in that way as our protector, as our guide, I mean, it's an incredible message of hope to people today to realize that to follow the Lord Jesus is to really walk as a member of the family of God, and not just in heaven, but like here and now, you know?
And it also makes me think of how being the message of hope, it's a hopeful message for fathers in a particular way, and also for, in my case, daughters, you know? And Joseph, he's definitely a universal patron because in today's day and age, we do need a good model as a father. And so for fathers listening, Joseph is a wonderful patron and model. And also for those of us who need a good father, and we may be blessed with a good human father, either that or if we're not, Joseph is there as a spiritual father in a very particular way for us today.
And we think of all of those who work with their hands. You know, in the Gospels, they're originally composed in Greek. So the word that was used to describe St. Joseph was tekton. Now, in English, we always say he was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Oh, he worked with wood. Well, he would have worked with a lot more than just wood. You know? He would have actually worked with more stone than wood, which shows that he has a variety of talents, skills, and trades. So you don't have to be a carpenter to have a devotion to St. Joseph. I mean, you can be in the construction field. You can be someone who's using intellectual gifts and talents and, you know, in the office, on the computer. Anybody who is using God-given talents in the area of labor has an opportunity to turn to St. Joseph with this particular fondness, but maybe even a particular desire for help, intercession. I know St. Teresa of Avila, she would always say, you know, we all need to have a special devotion to St. Joseph, but if you're trying to build a devotion, you have to wait for something particular, something particularly big, like really, really big, something that's huge. You give that intention to St. Joseph and you let him be your father. He won't call attention to himself.
No.
He'll probably accomplish it and not even draw attention to the fact that it's done.
Yes, yes.
But it'll be done and it'll be done well. But her words challenge us to be mindful of who we are, where we are, what we need versus what we want, and then to give it to the Lord, to give it to the Lord by giving it to someone like good St. Joseph. Sister, one last thought, one last message. Yes. Good St. Joseph, on this Wednesday, what comes to your mind? What do you want to throw out there and share?
Well, this is a little bit more specific to religious, but one of my favorite titles of Joseph from the Litany of St. Joseph is the Protector of Virgins. Mm. And I just think of his relationship to Our Lady and how that's how he got that title, but then what that means to me as a consecrated religious. So he is, that kind of ties into his role as father. They feed into each other and it's a beautiful thing to contemplate, but he is ready to protect and particularly to protect virgins. So I would like to put that forth as a little vote of confidence to all religious, especially those listening, that Joseph is ready to help us.
Absolutely. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. Father Stosh Daly, joined by Sister Mary Jacinta from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. The Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, have an apostolic presence here in the Diocese of Columbus at St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Worthington. But the sisters are also found throughout the country, aren't they, Sister?
Yes, we have several missions across and outside the country, too.
Where are some of the states where your sisters will be found?
We are in California and Texas and Michigan. Our mother house is in Michigan. We also have some missions in Michigan. And we're also in Rome as well.
Rome. What do your sisters accomplish in Rome?
We have, it's a mission where we're able to go and do some studies. And also we have two sisters assigned to the library at the Angelicum.
Very well. Awesome. So in your charity, please pray for the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, as they pray for you. God bless.